Why can't APS just pay teachers more?
Can my child really learn in a classroom of 30?
Is public education as bad as the media and everyone else says it is?
Everyone has an opinion about Albuquerque public schools. But where do you go to sort out fact from fiction and rumor? Right here. Welcome to the APS Open Book Podcast with your host, Mark Goodrum.
Welcome to the APS Open Book Podcast, Episode 10, Sports in Albuquerque Public Schools. My guests today are Kenny Barres, Athletic Director for Albuquerque Public Schools, and Harvey Carruthers, Coach at Manzano High School. Welcome. Glad you're here.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
First of all, we all have done some sports in our life in the past at some point or another. I was in track. What did you do, Kenny?
I was a football, baseball player.
Oh, there you go. Yep. Harvey?
I was a football player, baseball player, played rugby, cyclist. I do a lot of things. I did a lot of things, do a lot of things still.
So the reason why I ask is because we know firsthand what athletics brings to your own being as we're coming along. What's available, Kenny, at APS for sports?
Well, from the standpoint at our high schools, we do everything that our state association sanctions, starting volleyball and soccer and football in the springtime, and basketball, wrestling, swimming, among other things in the winter, and track, golf, tennis. 21 sports is what we have between the boys and girls, which include cheerleaders and dance teams, which is still relatively new in terms of all that other, but 21 sports in all of our high schools, multiple levels at most of them, be it a varsity team and a JV team or a varsity JV and a C team. And then at our middle schools, we offer volleyball, basketball, and track and field as the sanctioned sports by the state association, and those are in all of our 29 middle schools also. So a wide range of things, hopefully, for students to participate in.
Right, right. You can find something you'll like and be successful.
That's what we hope for.
And Harvey, at Manzano, what's going on over there with sports? Tell us a little bit.
Well, I coach C-team football, and I'm the head varsity track and field coach. Oh. You know, we have a lot of kids that are participating in a lot of different sports. I've been around for, this is my 19th year at Manzano High School. I've seen the number of dual participation athletes, multiple participation athletes increase over the last 7-8 years, and which is a great thing. Those kids keep them busy and keep them involved and keeps their grades up and keeps them moving forward.
Yeah, you talked about the grades. Let's talk a little bit about that first, because that's the main thing that we've got to keep it together. Kenny, talk about that substance on those students coming to school for the athletic aspect, but they have to maintain.
So, Mark, here, philosophically, here's where I'm at. We're all about the graduation rate.
Right.
We're all about what our superintendent's priorities are. And so even though athletics and activities often happens outside of the classroom, it's still aligned and geared towards that. And so I look at it as a standpoint of, how do you get kids engaged to school? We know how important student attendance is. That's so fundamental to this whole thing. And if we have students engaged and coming to school for whatever reason, then that's half the battle.
Yeah. Showing up.
Absolutely. the old adage of half the battle is just showing up.
Exactly.
A robust athletic and activities program is one more thing that engages the kids, that gets them to come to school. If that's the thing that drives them, if that's the thing that motivates them to get up in the morning and get to school, if that's what allows them to overcome some of the challenges that our kids and our families and our community face every day, then it's valuable. And so it's about engaging kids, and it's about getting kids to school, and it's about engaging them with role models and adults. Harvey's a perfect example.
Yeah.
Harvey's the kind of coach that you want kids around.
Yeah.
He's the role model. He's the kid. He's the coach that's going to motivate the kid to get themselves to school. And again, athletics activities is not for everybody, but it's one element that gets those kids to school. So it's philosophically, it's that purpose. It's about one more element to increase the graduation rate.
Right.
One more element to get kids to school. That's the part of it that I think philosophically we sometimes will get lost in the day-to-day winning and losing and are we good? Absolutely. Are we not good?
Absolutely.
What are we wearing?
Well, the spotlight is on
it. Exactly. What time is on practice? And are we on the sports station? All those things we get lost in. And when we peel all that away, it's still about getting kids to come to school and graduating.
Right.
Turning kids out that are going to be part of our community long after we're gone. And that's what athletics does.
You hit the nail on the head there because after my body gave up, you wouldn't want to see me run a hurdle right now.
So maybe we would. I don't know.
On YouTube. Yeah, we won't go there. But after all of that is gone, the physicality part of it, you still have that ability, that the education behind you, the degree behind you, or the avenue that you can make money on whatever you decided to go into. But all of those elements that you get from sports, you can apply to those businesses. Yeah. I mean, as a coach, Harvey, and Kenny was talking about, you are, I know you very well, and you are that kind of coach that will go ahead and teach the discipline in a positive way. And I remember Coach Griffin, who I had for track up in Massachusetts, and Jim Griffin, God rest his soul. And he was like that. I can still remember him. Mm-hmm. And these kind of coaches and teachers stick with the kids. What are some of the other characteristics that you try to bring to the game?
I think we all have that guy, that coach in our lives that made a difference. And it's fun to kind of go out in the community and see kids that you don't necessarily remember that kid's name.
Yeah.
But that kid knows who you are. And so, you know, it's a good feeling to say, you know what, apparently I made a difference in that kid's life. Yeah. And Kenny's right. We get lost so much in the winning and the losing and all of that stuff. And, you know, I try to bring it back always to – I tell the kids all the time, the most important thing you're ever going to do is graduate from high school. Yeah. That's the most important thing you're ever going to do. Right. So we try to focus on those things and the positivity and building those relationships with the athletes. Like I said, it's a great feeling to those kids reach out to you when they're 20 and they talk to you. They talk to their kids about you.
Sure,
you
know, absolutely.
Kind of
so we have in our audience, we have a parent or a young man that's listening to this podcast, and I go to high school. What is the procedure? Now, first of all, let me start with middle school.
Okay.
You said there are sports there. I remember I taught at Grant Middle School. Talk about how do you get involved? What's the procedure?
One of the things over the last few years that we've tried to do is really make it an easy intake process, if nothing else. And we've done that administratively by putting an athletic director in every one of our middle schools and in every one of our high schools.
Right.
Obviously, they've long been in our high schools.
Right.
And to some case, up until about 6 years ago, they were informally in some middle schools. Mm-hmm. There was a person who you just knew who to go to, that they knew everything about it. Well, we've formally, as a district, committed to an athletic director position at the middle school that is going to coordinate those things, that's the one-stop shop. And that's the person, if we can get interested people to that person, then that person is going to be able to get them to who their coach is, what physical they need, what do their grades need to be about, when do they practice, when is the season, how do I get there? They're going to know all the ins and outs. And that's really from an administrative standpoint that anybody in our community that's interested can walk in the front doors of the school. They know who the principal is, or there is a principal.
Yeah.
Sometimes there is an assistant principal, there isn't, but there is an athletic director.
Great.
And so that has proven to be helpful of here's where we're going to gear all of our folks to.
Mm-hmm.
At the high school level, because of the volume of it, sometimes it gets a little more sports specific and those folks from the community go directly to the coach or they know somebody, they know the coach's name.
Right.
But again, most of our coaches have gotten to a place of, well, I have an athletic director and that's the administrative person that's going to drive whatever decisions we make or what we've got to do. Again, practices, eligibility, et cetera. So that's the number one person is simply ask for the athletic director.
Sure.
That's a person who is in common in every one of our schools.
Wonderful. Now, Harvey, you've got a parent coming in and a freshman Never played before.
Mm-hmm. Lots of those.
I don't know what I'm capable of.
Yeah.
Can I get on the team?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right now, the C team at Manzano, I think we have 32, 33 kids, something like that, and four of them have ever played football before.
Wow.
And so, yeah, those guys that have never played before, in a lot of ways, I like those kids just a little more in the sense that there's not bad habits to break.
Right.
We're able to kind of mold them into what our program needs.
Right.
You know, we don't have to tear everything down and rebuild it.
Right.
It's always nice if a kid at least understands the game. But, you know, that's what we're here for. Especially at the C team level, it's not so much about the wins and the losses. It's developing the athlete. It's developing the young man. It's giving him the opportunity to do things that he never has done before.
Sure.
Or she. We actually have a couple girls on the team as well. So girls are welcome as well. So.
I was going to get into that as well. So
we've seen a big change in that over the years.
You know,
I remember when I first started at Manzano in the early 2000s, you know, we would have a girls soccer player that was our kicker kind of thing.
Right.
And all she did was kick.
Right.
Right now we have two girls, one on the varsity team who's a lineman. She's a senior lineman.
Right.
And on the C team, we have one of our linebackers is a girl.
Mm-hmm.
They do great. They fit right in. The boys, you know, bring them in and that's
touchdowns
their little sister.
Don't have agenda.
Absolutely.
That's right.
And so, yeah, it's great.
So let's stick with football for a minute here.
Okay.
Safety. Helmets, I'm concerned. Off mic before the podcast started, I was talking about my son and my wife was, when he was coming through middle school, and my wife was concerned about safety. Talk a little bit about that. As I know, that's been in the news in the last couple of years with the NFL and the helmets and,
and absolutely.
Concussion.
You know, there's a form that, well, athletes, parents can, if they're concerned about the high school doesn't have the helmet that they want or the helmet that's the level of, you know, the most concussion sensitive helmet or whatever, you know, parents can buy their own helmets.
Uh-huh.
There's a form that kind of releases that from, you know, on the APS side. At Manzano, I assume at every school, we have really high quality equipment. It's reconditioned yearly, and, you know, we have to buy new stuff all of the time. And so, yeah, I mean, the equipment that we use is top notch.
Right.
Football's a game that it's a collision sport, and concussions happen, and it's kind of part of it, you know.
Yeah.
Personally, I take concussions very seriously. You know, I tell the parents that I'm going to coach your kid like I coach my kid.
Sure.
And so if I see a kid, you know, in a game who gets up from a tackle and kind of wobbling around a little bit, that kid comes out, you know. And I don't know that every coach does that. I hope every coach does that, but that's just the way I look at it. And, you know, I treat those kids as though they're my own kids.
Sure.
And, you know, I don't want my kid to have long term damage from something that happened in high school.
You got your eye on him.
I'm gonna pull him out instantly. Yeah. And our trainer, he does a great job. He comes in and he does what he needs to do and communicates with me that, that kid's done or no,
safety
he's okay.
is a top
safety
priority.
For me is a top priority. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. What's the schedule like for games? When's the season starting in?
So,
football
season starts. It changes. It's like the first week of August, I believe, is when official practices start. Games go from the end of August to early December is the championship game for the varsity level. All programs practice during the summer and the off season. As far as football goes, you know, basketball, of course, is practicing in the summer. Baseball is doing what they do in the summer.
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot of summer things that you were talking earlier about of a child who's never played before.
Right.
How do I get involved? What do I do? Like Kenny said, go to the athletic director and find out when those summer practices are starting, because that summertime is a great time to, you know, it's a lot less pressure. There's not a game coming up right around the corner.
And they can get a feel for whether this is for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They can decide that, okay, no, this isn't working, or man, this is a good time. I really enjoy this.
Right.
You know, so
get an idea whether it suits them or not.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's go back to Kenny, the sports for the girls. Can you talk a little bit about that, what's available?
Well, sure. I think we have as wide a range of opportunities for girls, for our females in our sports program as we do our boys.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we participate in now has a female component in one way or the other. There's some very interesting things that have come up. Harvey mentioned about the football aspect and the participation of girls in football that has really over the course of the last 10, 12, 15 years has taken off, where we're seeing greater participation. Most recently, it's in the sport of wrestling, where we have a significant number of girls participating in wrestling that stereotypically is male-dominated, and you think of that, and that's really beginning to change a little bit. It's very interesting, and it's in the infant stages of it, so it'll be very interesting to see how that continues to take off.
Right.
But when you talk about everything, the volleyballs and the softballs, all of those levels and all of those opportunities are in the same place. They obviously have to be from what we do to be in compliance with Title IX.
Exactly.
Our participation of our girls is fairly close to that of our boys. The as it does in most places, our male participation is still greater overall than our female participation. At our middle school level, it's the other way. Our female participation is far greater than our male participation at middle school, and for a variety of reasons, but it's about, again, providing opportunities in that same manner. And we're seeing some things that are a little bit different than maybe, you know, longtime veteran guys who would think, well, the girls wrestling, what's this all about? The girls division, the girls state championship part of it. So what we've tried to do is incorporate all of those things. About 8 years ago, we added the cheer and dance component, which, again, stereotypically is female-dominated, but we're seeing males involved in that as well.
Right.
But we've added that and committed to that financially into our athletics program, where that became the 20th and 21st sport most recently.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very proud of the opportunities that we have for girls. I would tell you one of the concerns of mine is always trying to find those great female role models who are our coaches. And we've got some great ones out there. When you start talking about the Maggie Ostas out at Atrisco Heritage, you know, those are great female role models. Megan Holland, the volleyball coach at Sandia High School.
Right.
We have some great women that are coaching. It's about finding that person for that female.
Yeah.
Sometimes females, they've been in this 35 years.
Right.
Sometimes they don't mix with that male coach. And coaching, by and large, is still a male-dominated thing from a percentage standpoint. So we're always looking for those female role models that are coaching. And I think that's the lifeblood of the female component to our sports program.
Yeah.
Commit to it financially, commit to it logistically from a facility standpoint, but it's always trying to find and keep those role models that I think are so important.
Let's talk a little bit about esports. I just heard about that this year, and I have to admit, I'm an old guy. Haven't really wrapped my head around whether that's a sport or not yet. But I'm open-minded. What's going on with esports, Kenny?
Well, I'm a little bit like you. I'm a little bit of a gray beard like you. So this is a few minutes ago we talked about girls wrestling, which, that's one thing.
You
get to this esports
21st
part of it.
Century.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're
it's
talking.
It's in APS, right?
It is in APS. It has been sanctioned as an activity by the New Mexico Activities Association, our state association. It was introduced last year.
Right.
And so it's still working to gain some traction. And I think to put no better adage to it, everyone is still trying to build that plane as it's flying a little bit.
Yeah.
So. And we all have to, in our own way, have to come to some terms with, is it a sport?
Yeah.
Is it not a sport?
But it is bringing those students to school.
It's another way to engage kids who may not be otherwise engaged in somewhere. And that's the key.
Mm.
That doesn't matter if that's orchestra or chorus or drama.
Or Mesa.
Or Mesa.
Yeah,
or the
whatever
math teacher.
Right.
Or their elective classes. Or woodshop. It doesn't make a difference.
Right.
How do you get all kids engaged in what we're calling school?
Get them in the seats.
Get them there. Get them on campus.
Yeah.
Find some way to get them on campus. Esports is no different.
Right.
It's another avenue. It has to find its niche, and we kind of all have to figure out, how does this work?
Right.
And I think what happens is, it's very easy, because of how it's been titled of esports.
Right. Yeah,
that you connect it with athletics and activities. And there are some in athletics and activities that are like, whoa, okay, hold on.
Yeah.
Video games?
Right.
Right.
So hold on here.
Yeah.
And you have some of us older guys around the table, and we don't have any idea how to turn the thing on.
Well,
let
that
alone...
leads me to my next point that you got to get some young blood in here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And we're getting there.
Yeah.
We have kids in our schools who don't know anything but growing up with a smartphone.
Right.
That was foreign to you and I and Harvey.
Oh, yeah.
Growing up, it was still the landline and the phone rang in the house.
Right.
That doesn't even happen in a lot of
And you couldn't find your friend. You had to go to his house.
You had to go to his house.
You couldn't send him a text. Yeah.
It's completely different now, and it's changed the landscape of education. It's changed the landscape of society. It's changed the landscape of sports.
Sure.
But esports is another avenue, and I think it will gain a foothold.
Yeah.
And we'll have to wait a little bit of what kind of foothold is it going to take? And there are thoughts and myths out there of, oh, well, we don't like esports because it's going to take away kids from other sports or other activities.
Right.
I don't know that that's the case.
Right.
Well, it's not sports because it's not active in nature, and you get the, like myself, the physical education people out there of, if it ain't running, it ain't sport.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that that's the case either. But it's another avenue. What we all have to get on board with and commit to is it's another avenue to get kids on campus.
What I like about what APS is doing with this is APS has at least shown that they're open-minded and progressive to try to get, like you said, the kid in the classroom, focused on the grades, and whatever it takes. That also means getting some of the teachers, coaches that have been around, and it's always been this square box.
Yes.
Football, basketball, band, whatever.
Yeah.
And there were times, even in band, I taught band, that I had to think, okay, this is a little different, but we can put the electric guitar in here or whatever the case may be. And so I really applaud APS to open their minds up and say, this is just an avenue that we can reach. The kid, Harvey, that just track is not for them, the physicality is not for them, but I would be remiss if I didn't bring up, about a month or two ago, the young man that won $3 million playing esports. I don't have all the details on
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
But those sports, traditional sports, are not for them.
Yeah.
And so
I disagree.
Where do you fall
on this? I think track is for everybody.
Yeah. I'll agree with Harvey on that one, too.
We're holding hands.
There's room for it. There's room for it. You know, I got a kid right now that I'm working on that's he's a baseball player, and he wants to run on my 4x1.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I'm going to have to work it out with your coach. But, yeah, let's see what we can do.
Right.
I don't see esports as any different.
Really?
You know, a kid wants to play League of Legends and run track.
Right.
Well, let's work it out. Let's figure out a way to make that happen. I think there's a place for it. Personally, I'm not that old.
You are. Yeah, you're like me. We're
not
old guys.
That old.
Yeah.
I remember playing video games when I was a kid. I came up with it myself, not at the level that it's at right now.
Right,
But everybody enjoys to sit there and kind of just have a good time.
Right.
There's a definite competitiveness. I watch my 13-year-old sit there and play his games, and man, there is a definite level of competitiveness in these video games. Which, that's great. I tell my kids all the time, I'm one of the most competitive people around.
Right, yeah.
And in anything that we can do to build, I feel, competitiveness is a benefit.
Right. And that goes to my last point I want to make or talk to you about is those things, those substance characteristics that we all get after the basketball is gone or before, after we can't run or and so forth, discipline, the competitiveness, the mindset. Talk about a little bit about that, Kenny, about what you have right now to do your job that's related to the sports that you came out of.
It's all of it. That's all a part. The trust. You know, you developing trust, you developing teamwork. You have a skill set that when you're exposed to athletics, activities, strong programs in our schools, you're going to leave and take some of that with you. We've all mentioned coaches that are very, very influential on us, whether that be, in my case, it was my dad because he was a coach.
Right.
And I never played for him. But it was that mentality and that fundamental belief. It's about teamwork. It's about going to be a good teammate.
Working together.
It's ship before sailor kind of a thing. Yeah. And how you have to be a part of it in order for the bigger part to succeed.
Yeah.
So those are the things you take with you 10 years down the road, 15 years down the road. There are very few of us who have ever been able to work independently and become successful. That happens more often than not. It's fictional.
Right.
Especially in education, it's about collaboration. It's about coming together. It's about multiple people putting their heads together and giving up some things that they may want to get some things that are better for everybody
There's no I in team.
There is no I in team. There never has been. There never will be. And it doesn't matter how much society changes.
Yeah.
That's still going to always be the case. And so you hit on the word, the mindset, the strong mindset part of it, the discipline aspect of it, the element of just being able to get out of bed and show up, whether that is as an Air Force pilot, a greeter at Walmart, a fast food worker, a teacher.
The discipline.
You have that discipline to continue that. And it starts early. That discipline you may leave with high school may be what you get to get you to secondary education to get that next degree.
Right.
Then that you gain another skill set that pushes you on.
Yeah.
That's what we all have at this point. But from the athletic standpoint, there's always an element in everyone about some part of teamwork.
Right.
Being on time, pulling for one another, putting your own needs and desires behind somebody else's.
There you go.
That's how this world still works.
That's right, man. Yeah.
I tell my kids that, you know, a lot of this is I'm trying to teach you the things that you need to have a job.
Yeah.
Like you said, showing up on time or showing up at all.
Yeah.
You know, in some cases, or letting me know when, hey, coach, I'm sick.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be there today. Mm-hmm. You know, you go to a job and Kenny, you're my boss, and I just don't show up one day.
Yeah.
Man, I'm fired.
I
don't have a job anymore.
Right.
So, you know, and the other thing I think that athletics really teaches us is when things get hard, you can continue moving on.
Fortitude.
Yeah. And so many times things get hard and kids want to give up and walk away.
Yeah.
And athletics.
Pushing yourself.
Being able to push yourself and learning I feel like I'm going to die, but I'm not actually going to die.
Right. Yeah, I can get through this.
I can get through this.
Yeah.
This is going to be okay.
Yeah, yeah.
To this day, I find joy in doing hard things. And I can trace that back directly to summer workouts, in football.
Absolutely.
And you find that joy in it and just that feeling of, man, that was hard, but I did that.
I feel you on that because my wife and I have been doing yoga.
Oh, boy. Now, that's hard.
I'm telling you, man. And at my age, you know, you got to stretch. But we were doing this just this week, and I was sitting there, and I was thinking, oh, my goodness. I remember the pain. It was a different type of pain when I was doing the leg lifts and all of this at track.
You know?
All of that, like you said, it's teaching to the whole person, the whole child. So thank you so much, guys, for coming out. Enjoyed it.
I had a great time. Thank you for having us.
Oh, my pleasure. Time. First of all, I want to thank APS Communications Office for allowing us and giving us this opportunity. And all the people behind the scenes, Daniel and Monica and Johanna, they really put in a lot of work. Most importantly, I want to thank the people tuning in. You can download this podcast at your favorite spot on the internet. And YouTube as well, and it will be on KANW as well. So with that, tune in next month for another episode. And again, always keep smiling.
This podcast is produced by Albuquerque Public Schools and KANW Public Radio. Special thanks to KANW Program Director Kevin Otero. Stay tuned for more meaningful conversation in the months ahead.